This morning is Father's Day, and so today is a special day. It's all about honor. According to the Bible, it is a great thing to show honor. It's a great thing to show honor. There are lots of different groups that the Bible says we should show honor to. This morning, I'm going to highlight three and then really focus in on one person in particular from this third group, and we're going to show him incredible honor that is due to him. I just want to highlight three groups from Scripture that we're encouraged to show honor to. The first one is our parents. It's a good thing to honor your parents. This is all over Scripture. You see it multiple times. I think the most prominent time that you see that it's good to honor our parents is when it makes God's top 10 list. You might know it as the Ten Commandments. This is in Exodus chapter 20 at verse 12. God's word says this, encouraging us to honor our parents. Honor your mother and father so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. Interesting to note that God doesn't put an age limit. You don't age out of honoring your parents. It's not just for children. When you're in your 20s, it's good to honor your parents. When you're in your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, it's good to honor your parents. Last night, I had the privilege of sitting in the back for a memorial service for Bill Houston. He passed away a couple of weeks ago at the age of 101 years old. And I watched people, yeah, he's a longtime CPC member, amazing. I watched his kids come up and show him honor. I watched his grandkids come up and show him honor. Watched his great-grandkids come up and sing and share and show him honor. It's a great thing to honor your parents. There's a second group we see in Scripture where we're encouraged to show honor to. That is honor those in authority over you. So it's this good thing to honor those in authority over you. I love Romans chapter 13 at verse 7. God's word put it this way. It says, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Honor those in authority over you. The most incredible story I remember about showing honor and just watching it move through a room of all ages. I was in graduate school at Pepperdine. I was in business school, and my roommate and I were driving to church, to Malibu Presbyterian Church on a Sunday morning. We were driving along PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, and all of a sudden we almost got, nudged off the side of the road by a gigantic police motorcade. Just motorcycle after motorcycle after motorcycle after police car, and then a huge limousine with blacked out windows and American flags attached to it. I'm like, wow, that must be a prominent U.S. official. Right down PCH. So then eventually we let go and we wind our way up to this hill where Malibu Presbyterian Church, great view church up on a hill looking over the Pacific. And we get up there, and there are Secret Service people all over the campus of this church. I'm like, wow, I think that person's coming to church here. So we walk in, and there was a little bit of a banter on the patio before the services, like, I wonder if it's the president or something like that. And I remember a few of the families going, well, I hope the president show up. Bill Clinton was the president at the time. It was kind of funny. And he goes, well, I hope the president doesn't show here because I don't agree with his politics, and I didn't vote for him, and blah, blah, blah. I thought that was funny. So we go in, and during the first worship song, I remember I was sitting over on the right-hand side across the aisle. During the first worship song, all of a sudden from the back, three Secret Service agents walk the President of the United States into the room and sit him in the third row about 10 feet from us. It was incredible. And what was amazing is the senior pastor got up, and he introduced the president right in his opening remarks. He says, we have a great honor. We have the President of the United States worshiping with us this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Bill Clinton. And he stood up, and the entire place stood up and erupted in applause. And what's interesting is I looked to my left, and some of the families that I was talking about were standing, and a few of them you could see through the crowd had tears streaming down their face. Because in that moment, they weren't a Democrat or a Republican. They were a citizen of the United States, just freely giving, showing honor. It's a good thing to honor those in authority over you, and not just people in high government officials. There are students in here who have teachers. It's a good thing to show your teacher's honor. There are children who have parents. Show your parents honor. There are people who have a mentor in your life. You show him or her honor. There are many of us have we all have a boss. It's good to show our boss honor. Of course, it's Father's Day, and some of you might go, man, my husband or the father of my children isn't always honorable, and yet it's a good thing to show him honor and encourage him through that graciously to be the man and the husband and the father that God has called him and has empowered him to be. There is a third group we see in Scripture, and that is to honor your church leaders. Honor your church leaders. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 at verse 17, God's word says this. It says, the elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. And so this morning, the lion's share of the message we're devoting to showing a man who is worthy of double honor, and that is our former senior pastor, the Reverend Dr. Scott Farmer. This morning, we're going to interview him, and we're going to install him as the pastor emeritus of CPC. And yeah. Before I call you up, I just want to share in front of everybody my quick list of why I feel like you are absolutely worthy of double honor, not just this morning, but ongoing from here. And my three, by the way, all of us would have our own list as it relates to Scott. My quick list, the reason why you're worthy of double honor is you led this church for almost a quarter of a century with integrity, You stepped into, you received a call from the Lord to step into the life of our church in a season where the person in this position was not a model of integrity. And God used you and your integrity, a man of your word. 1 Corinthians 11:1 comes to mind where the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. You could say that. You could say that with confidence. And I thank you for that. You have this saying, and you've heard it if you're a member of our church or been around. Bible before breakfast, prayer before paper. You do it every day. And we'll hear about his new routine in just a little bit. Still, it's still Bible before breakfast and still prayer before paper. But you are a man who models integrity. There's a second reason I see, and that is, and this might be just because of the place that I sit in the role of our church, and that is you left our church in a position of financial health and strength. You led us through upturns, downturns, recessions, and landed as a place. We all know that whatever position of leadership or authority that we're in, we stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us. Amen? And so we all stand on your shoulders, and I stand on your shoulders because you led us to a place where we are a church with all these facilities and all these resources, and we have zero debt. That is amazing, and we're grateful for that. Third reason that I think you're worthy of double honor this morning and beyond is that you led us out of a denomination that it's, on the one hand, you could say it's dying, but that might even be questionable. You could definitely say the theological moorings are slipping. You led us out of that and into our current denomination that is thriving, that's growing, that is doctrinally sound, the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. That took a lot of work. And those, even though you did that before I got here, those closest to you, your team, Lee Camp, Ray Serpon, the pastoral team, they still recall with great affection when you stood on the floor of that presbytery and you pleaded and you basically said, let us go. And they said, okay, you can go. And you led us into this new denomination, so we thank you for that. Should we bring him up? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, your former senior pastor, the Reverend Dr. Scott Farmer. See, they love you.
Good. I got it. Thanks. All the new people are saying, who's that guy? Mm-hmm. I was kind of expecting a motorcade and a bodyguard or something.
Hopefully, just right now, because she just came from the back to the front, you saved one more rousing round of applause for Scott's wife, Barbie, who's right here. Barbie. So before we officially install him with a prayer, we're going to invite up the Fellowship of the Ordained, all past and present, elders and deacons up to surround Scott and Barbie at the end and pray over them. But before we do, we thought the best use of this time was we put together our pastoral team and a few other leaders and put together a list, like a top 10 list of questions based on the groups, the constituencies that each leader represented. What would be the questions that you all would want asked and answered in a Q&A dialogue before we do this, so we can catch up on what God has been doing in the life of Scott? And so we're going to get into that. Before we dive into those questions, the biggest one that actually you don't answer, I'm supposed to answer for us, is what is Pastor Emeritus?
Yeah, what is it?
Like, what is it? What are you signing up for? No. What is it and what is it not? And so the definition, simple definition of Pastor Emeritus is an honorary title bestowed on one retired from pastoral ministry to honor their years of service. And so what it is in simplest terms, we had a close friend, this is Rob Perkins, who's the senior pastor of Moraga Valley Press that we were with recently, who said in 30 seconds or less, like an elevator pitch version.
We were playing golf.
Yeah, we were. By the way, I snuck in 9 holes this morning at 5:40. Just want to make him jealous. We were playing golf.
Happy Father's Day.
I know. Yes. We were playing golf, and Rob said, hey, in simplest terms, what does this mean? What is it? And so here what it is we honor you, and I just explained why we honor you,
yeah.
Why you're worthy of honor. We love you. This is a place where you and Barbie and your family are beloved. And then thirdly, we welcome you. You've been away by your own volition for a year. We welcome you back into the life of our church with open arms. So that's what it is. It's an honorary title. It, just a few things that is not. It's important to state
carefully to this.
It is not an official role. It is not a list of duties. There is no remuneration for it. Sorry for that. He's not going to be doing weddings and funerals and all these types of things. Doesn't have an office, doesn't have a desk. He's not going to be sitting in on meetings. He doesn't want a parking spot. We had a parking spot for Orville because he was, you know, he had struggle
I can
walking.
Still walk.
So he goes, yeah, he looked at me, he goes, I don't need a parking spot. That's what he said. So it's not those things. He doesn't have a seat on our board. What he does want is an opportunity to come and to sit with his wife, Barbie, and to worship the Lord in the church they called home for so many years. And so that's what it is. So the first question everybody want answered from you is, and this is a deep one, theologically deep, how's your golf handicap in retirement?
It's gone up. Golfers, you know that the lower your golf handicap, the better you're doing, the higher it is. That means you get more of a help. Well, when I retired, I was a 7 for you golfers, and now I'm a 11 or 10-6. So it's going the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Out of retirement's bad for my golf game, but good for my soul.
On a more serious note, what have you and Barbie done in the last year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I kind of divided into 4 things: learning, loving, serving, playing. And I've been on a learning kick, a learning binge. All the stuff that we pastors wish we'd had time to read, but you don't have any time to do this because you got to run this place. I have time to read the biggies. Like I read City of God by Augustine, John Milton's Paradise Lost, Dante's Divine Comedy, the whole trilogy. Read a great biography of Bonhoeffer and Karl Barth. I'm wading through Karl Barth's Church Dogmatics. I mean, all that stuff that's on the top of your list too, I'm sure. Virgil's Aeneid. I mean, it's just this kind
this
of
light
fun,
summer
nerdy
reading
stuff.
Like that.
And I'm just having a ball. And then I, you know, the Bible. Of course, I read the Bible, but now I get to read it with a commentary. Because even after 40 years as Dr. Farmer, I go, I wonder what that means. wonder what that's about. Well, now I get to have the time during the mornings to pull out a commentary and look at it. So I get to read like 3-4 hours a day and still have plenty of time. Loving, we have 6 grandchildren now. And with our 3 kids, each have 2 each, and they all live within 25 minutes. Mm. So it's just a lot of wonderful time with grandkids. And then Barbie and I get to spend a whole bunch of time together, which is just wonderful. We've been out of town as much as possible. Serving is, I'm trying to be somewhat productive sometimes. We took a 6-month sabbatical at the wisdom of many to don't make any commitments for at least 6 months, because you got to get used to not being the guy that everybody wants a piece of, that people need and want. If you can't face that and not be in demand, you'll just say yes to whoever asks first, because you need to be needed. Hmm. And so they say you've got to go through this withdrawal, and I found out found that to be very true. So through really December, I did very little, and then January I overdosed. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but just overdosed, and now I've been sort of and figuring out through what I call low-cost probes, what's the best use of me, what's most fulfilling, and what really works. And then play, we play out of town. Barbie and I have taken more hikes this last year than ever. We've been at beaches, mountains, and lakes, a lot of withdrawal, a lot of places without televisions. I play golf a couple times a week when I'm in town, and then believe it or not, I work out a lot.
Yeah.
So, but no, I don't. Look at these guns.
Great. Oh, jeez. What about church? You still love church?
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah.
Where have you guys attended church?
Well, for the first 6 months, we visited all my pastoral friends, our pastoral friends, that I probably know the pastors within a 50-mile radius is. So we visited all of their congregations. So, you know, we went over here to Cornerstone with Matt Warner, who's a high school kid here, and, you know, out to Cornerstone with Steve and Roger Valchi at Valley Christian, Mark, of course, over at San Ramon, over John Ortberg, buddy of mine at Menlo Park, and Peter Whitelock over at Lafayette Arinda, Bart Garrett, and up to Granite Bay with Ray Johnson, and we traveled, all that kind of stuff. And then I remember, late November. I haven't had to cry. That's been another good part of this year. Barbie and I are driving back from Christ Church, Oakland, and we're on Highway 24, and Barbie bursts into tears. And she says, we're visiting all these churches. I don't know anyone. No one knows us. You may know the pastor. I don't know these guys. I want a home. And we knew it couldn't be here, so we committed for the last 6 months. Our home church has been Christ Church East Bay, great EPC church. Bart Garrett's preached here a couple of times, mm-hmm. good friend of ours, and that's been our home there for the last 6 months. When we go there and we see people our age, we think, oh, somebody's parents are visiting. So it's a different demographic.
What about trips? You mentioned you've traveled a lot. What are some of the trips that you've taken in the last year?
Well, I passed the baton to Tyler, to you, on May 15th. This photo was taken May 17th. We went to this little cottage or condo down at Imperial Beach. The next building south is Tijuana. And that's where we were for about 10 days. And for retirement, Barbie and the kids gave me a new surfboard. A short one. I started surfing in the 60s, so I have longboards, short ones. So I've been trying to learn how to do that. Did a lot of journaling, reading. Think it was very good. Another one, and this is emblematic, is Moclips, Washington. Is a little village on the coast of Washington, and this next picture is from there. My friend Mark Toon, who some of you have met, let us use his cabin. And that's me reading City of God, which, by the way, is 900 pages. It's a great book, by the way. That's another story. That was just great. Reading, walking on the beach, thinking about, that's when I started engaging, what next? Then the third one was, I said I binged in January. Part of it was going to Orlando, doing 2 conferences for the denomination. One of them Tyler went to for the largest, pastor of the largest churches in the denomination. That was a couple days in Orlando. Then it was a week break, and then they asked me to convene the pastors of the next largest churches in the denomination. And there was that gap, and Barbie had always wanted to go to Savannah and Georgia. So Barbie came with me And we went to Savannah, Georgia. We'd never been, like a whole part of the country we didn't know about. So it was just a wonderful time. And then finally, any time with grandkids beats any trip on the world. So that's the other trip, I would say, just moving into a new generation of people about that tall.
So the retirement stage is a new and a different stage of your life. What's the most surprising highlight of this stage of your life?
One is, I'd call it learning uninterrupted by the need for certainty. One of the tasks of a pastor and a preacher is to stand up here and proclaim with confidence what we know to be true. That, in a sense, interrupts the learning process. You have to find out of all that I'm asking, all the questions that I'm asking about this text, this issue, what do I know? Well, I've had the luxury of not having to interrupt my uncertainty every week to find certainty. And so that's been a surprising delight for me to become a student again. I'm a Dr. Farmer, I'm a nerd, I just love that stuff, so this has been great. Second is how much, I didn't expect to be so delighted in grandparenting. To be with kids, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, now a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and not rush and not feel imposed, they have my undivided attention, and I'm absolutely delighted in that. I'm not going anywhere. You who are parents, it's your vocation, you got to multitask to take care of kids. When we're with the grandkids, that's it. And it's delicious. It's our avocation.
Yes.
So that's it. And the other surprising thing is finding out I really don't like preaching. That's not new. And the reason is that, and I've used this, Barbie says that's not new. No, preaching is, in the best sense of the word, the best sense of these words, it's performance art. You're creating a piece of art, and then you're communicating it. And it's important art, the artistry of crafting and delivering. It is such hard work. And as we visited churches, I appreciate every time I sit in a congregation like you, how hard it is. And I'm glad to have passed that to a new generation who can do it with delight. When we were in I was asked to go up to Portland to help one of our large churches up there. They said, hey, who knows how to lead a 2,000-member church through transition? Farmer, who just retired. Farmer, hey, Farmer, why don't you go up and help them? And I said, no. I don't want to move to Portland. I don't want to commute to Portland. Barbie's had enough nights alone to last a lifetime, so I won't. But I'll go up and I'll consult with you a little bit and I'll speak once or twice. Went up there and spoke. And I crafted a new sermon. And, okay, they paid me $400 for this. That's half minimum wage. A third minimum wage for the number of hours I spent putting this thing together and the agony of it. And I thought, you idiot. If ever you preach again, don't go write a new sermon. I've got 24 linear feet of folders of sermons I preached over the last 4 years. Some of them are really good. Some of them should never see the light of day. Before you preach, you don't know where on that scale you are. Uh-huh. So now I'm going to go, oh, I'll preach for you. Which of the top 10 most meet your needs?
Yeah.
So those are surprises that I keep learning.
Okay. What about how you spend your week? Like what's a week in the life of Scott?
Well, it's blah, 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 Grandpa Wednesdays. I pick up Coley on Wednesdays from preschool, and she's 3 years old, and we get to spend Grandpa Day together. And then, as I say, I typically read, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And then I play golf a couple times a week, and Fridays, typically Barbie's in my day and stuff like that. But we're out of town, a third of the time, halftime? Third to halftime. We just get out of here.
So you took a year-long self-imposed, use the term strategic absence, away from the life of our church.
Yep.
So what has that year away, how has that changed or shaped your perspective or appreciation for CPC, but and also our role or place in this valley, which you know so well?
Very, very good. Very good. I'll bet almost every church we've been to in all of our travels knows about you. And they've been helped by you, by our church. We're over in Oakland. Oh, CPC. Oh, we had a funeral for one of our staff, and your deacons came over and cared for us. Oh, CPC. Oh, you'd help train our Stephen ministers. Oh, CPC. Yeah, I go to AA there. Saved my life. Oh, CPC. You guys helped us with technology. Oh, so you are a generous church, and you, CPC is an important church to get to continue to be a great church. And here's an appreciation I have. All of us baby boomers, pastors, have retired or are retiring, and Tyler and his generation is taking over the leadership of the church in the Tri-Valley, but certainly in this valley, and there are new congregations, and there's new leadership, a new generation. So whatever I did to try to create cohesion and fight competition between congregations and build cooperation, what'd you say, 5% is church, 95% unchurched? Guys, we need help, right, in bringing the gospel to this valley. So don't have an attitude of competition, but cooperation. CPC, you, in all of your tentacles, as well as Tyler's leadership, has got to build a united church in the valley again in this generation. So, and you're poised to do it. You have that attitude of seeing the Church of Jesus Christ, not just CPC. So way to go.
24 years, a lot of wisdom.
Incredible wisdom. Just.
And wisdom and humility for both those.
So humility just leaks out.
So what can you share with us, wisdom-wise, discernment, just what advice, what wisdom could you share with us for our next season? We just publicized and went public with this Reach Vision, which is not dissimilar from your Valley Vision that you had before. But what wisdom could you share with us based on 24 years of, and really 40 years as a pastor?
Yeah. Well, that thank you. That's a great question. And I mean, look at this room, guys. Turn around. Look. Notice how every seat is taken. And this is one of three services today. The best is yet to come. CPC's best is yet to come. It's not in the past. Don't embrace what was. Walk with hope and anticipation into what's coming in the future. I would like to say to you of my generation and above, you pray like crazy. You pray like crazy. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Things are changing. For instance, those of you who are used to this sanctuary, it's going to be different. Smile.
They're going to love it.
And if you're an interior decorator, smile. God help you. I mean, you can change the budget by millions of dollars, but if you change the sacred space, you're really messing with stuff. So, second, love each other. Love each other. And, you know, the Reach Vision, I leaned to Kathy Tyler, and I said, that's new clothes on the same body.
Mm-hmm. Evangelism, at
which
its
is
core.
which is just fantastic. Mm. So that was awesome.
A lot of people have asked, will you be taking or leading trips abroad, kind of like Orville did when you made him pastor emeritus, the pastor who preceded you that had a long tenure? Will you be leading trips, stuff like that?
We're in a similar situation in that Orville retired when I was Tyler's age and came, and Orville was footloose and fancy free. He and Esther led all kinds of trips. Tyler's got kids and a church to run, so Barbie and I are happy to do it if it's meaningful for Christian worldview building, but not for pure recreation. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's, I think, the role of the pastor. If you want to go on a recreational trip, have fun, but if it's something that builds a Christian. So we've led trips to Israel. We'd love to do that again. Paul's journeys, the Reformation, fantastic things like that. But if you're going to go, you know, whitewater rafting down the Colorado, God bless you.
Okay, last question.
So
for
I
now.
Am open to it. If you have ideas, Tyler would be happy for me to do it, and Barbie and I would love to do it if it's a meaningful trip.
Last question for now. What are your future plans?
Well, I'm aligning. This shirt is called Alliance Partners, and I'm hanging out with a group of Christians who are seeking to care for congregations and not-for-profits leadership and resource development. And I think that's what I intend to do, to be in the serve part, continue to learn, love, and in the serving, I'll help coach pastors, which I'm already doing in EPC and some outside, in leadership development and support. Part of wisdom in my mind is new mistakes next year. Mm-hmm. And so I've made 40 years of mistakes, and I can say, oh, you don't need to do that one. Oh, you don't need to do that one. And that's called wisdom. So.
Yeah, that's good. Just to set expectations, I said to Scott and Barbie, we obviously we honor you, we love you, we welcome you. How much would you like, I don't want to put a bunch of expectations on you. We just want this to be a place where you feel honored, welcomed, and loved. But how often do you plan on being here? He said, well, we travel about half the time. And when we're in town, maybe we come half the time or maybe more. And people are going to go, where are you going to sit and stuff like that? And
he says, well, you know, Orville sat in the very back. And I always wondered, why did he sit in the back? And now I get it. Because he's not part of the conversation, and people aren't watching his head in the second row go like this or like this or anything like that. And so we'll sit in the back and cheerlead. And by the way, as you know, I believe in this guy. I think he is God's man for this generation.
Well, I would like to invite Barbie up onto the platform to join you. And now, to surround them in prayer and to formally install Scott as Pastor Emeritus, I invite all of the Fellowship of the Ordained, that is ordained elders, governing elders, and deacons, past and present in our church, come up here and surround them, please, right now. There'll be a bunch of them, but you're going to feel loved.
I am. Amen.
I can't. Wow, what a group. Holy moly. This is great.
Hi, guys.
You too will all have the opportunity to serve in this capacity if you're here long enough. Come on in. Wow, great. What a group. Holy moly. Get nice and close. Get nice and close. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. It's not the time to be shy.
People try to get up the aisle.
You can go up right next to him. Really. He won't bite.
You're kind of short. You can still see over.
Okay, would you join me in prayer as we formally install Scott Farmer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this man, and we thank you for this woman. You have blessed our church with his and their leadership, with their faithfulness, and with their fruitfulness. Now we pray your blessing, God, Heavenly Father, on Father's Day, onto this man. We install him formally in our church as Pastor Emeritus, an honorary title to a man who is worthy, like we talked about, of double honor. So God, would you encourage him and them? Would you help them to feel and to know that they are honored here, that they are loved here, and that they are always welcomed here? As he has blessed so many of us, we pray your blessing over him, over Scott and Barbie. We thank you for them, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.